Thanks for listening to the Doug Gottlieb Show podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday, 3 to 6 Eastern, 12 to 3 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. Find your local station for the Doug Gottlieb Show at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR.
Now let's get this party started.
You're listening to Fox Sports Radio.
Boom! What up, America? Doug Gottlieb Show. Fox Sports Radio. Hope you're having a great day. The Doug Gottlieb Show broadcast every day from sunny Southern California. Today is no different. A little overcast, but still, we'll take it. We got a lot to get to, and we have a really, really, really good and interesting show for you. So for the next 3 hours, wherever you are, take us with you. And just so you know, if there is any question you have, I think the best way is hit me up on Twitter. You can DM me as well if you want, or just broadcast it to the world at Gottlieb Show. Instagram as well. You can message me at Gottlieb Show. And of course, there's Facebook as well, where you can hit our show page. I check all of those periodically throughout the show. Wait till you hear what Brent Musburger had to say about John Gruden getting fired. Of course, Brent not only lives and works in Vegas, but is the voice of the Raiders. That's upcoming. Bucky Brooks will be our guest as we'll preview Cowboys versus Saints tonight. Moose Johnson's going to join us next hour. We'll ask him about the Cowboys, why they're not more consistent outside of injuries, but everybody does have them. And Danny Cannell is going to join us, who continues to defend the defenseless, which is the ACC. But we'll talk some NFL and college football with Danny Cannell. So welcome in. Hope you're great. I love talking to my kids about school because there's a possibility I've been too honest with them, right? It's like my kids asked me a long time ago, Dad, did you like school? Like, no. I mean, easy Q&A, right? You want to build a bridge between you and your kids. Best way is honesty is the best policy, right? So no, but there's some ancillary benefits to school. And, oh yeah, by the way, I think if I went back, and I don't know if you guys are like this now, but I went back, like, I like learning a whole lot more now. Maybe I didn't like my teachers. Maybe I didn't like the way they taught. But I'm actually somebody who loves to learn things. And I would be a much better student now because I really enjoy learning about stuff. But I do constantly ask them, you know, what their favorite class is, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. What do they like best? What do they like worst? You name it. And history seems to come up as all of my kids' favorite subject. I don't know if it's because their history teachers are the most fun and enjoyable, or maybe it's the way in which they teach the subject matter. I don't know. Or maybe it's the subject themselves. I too like history. Why do we study history? Why do we study history? You know, it's the old, if Hitler studied Napoleon, he would have learned you don't attack Russia in the winter and you don't fight a war on two fronts. But history did, in fact, repeat itself and both ultimately lost. Right? Okay. And when we study history so that we don't repeat the errors of our forefathers or even longtime generations, and you can use references of the past, not just in terms of literature. That's one of the reasons we study, you know, ancient literature, but also why we study history. So I was thinking about Notre Dame last night, and I was thinking about the LSU job. And I was thinking, where had I seen this before? Marcus Freeman is named the new head coach at Notre Dame. Marcus Freeman is 35 years old, former Ohio State linebacker, and by all accounts, dude is top shelf. Tommy Reese is their offensive coordinator. He's going to remain as such. Played at Notre Dame. He's been their play caller. So basically, what it feels like is Notre Dame had an outstanding staff that seems to be staying in South Bend. And now you have a much younger head coach, a different energy, more of a unifier, you know, whereas by his own accounts, Brian Kelly's more of a CEO head coach. You know, people wanted warmth and a bedside manner when he spoke to the team, and that's obviously been broadcast. The problem with that is that ain't who Brian Kelly is. So you want him all of a sudden now when he's on his way out the door to act like something he's not? Why? He's not going to. Freeman, who, again, much closer in age to the players themselves, speaks a younger language to the players, as does Reese. There's a much tighter bond there. There's many more feelings there. And so you can put me down the record saying, I hope this works. I think it'll work. In theory, it should work. But where can we study this historically, right? Tremendously successful head coach takes the program to heights and then leaves for LSU, and virtually no one feels like they're going with him. Do you know what I came up with? Okay, here it is. 21 years ago, 22 really, Michigan State had a head coach who just won 10 games. He went 9-0, and they were getting ready for the Citrus Bowl. That coach took the job at LSU. His name, Nick Saban. And Nick Saban, granted, this is 21, 22 years ago, so he's, you're talking about now he's 70, so he's in his late 40s, as opposed to Brian Kelly, who's 60. But still, Nick Saban was seen as a guy who, not the easiest to deal with. A great coach, a driven coach, not somebody who's warm and cuddly. So Nick Saban told his staff, and forgive me if the time is off, but you all have a job in Baton Rouge. The plane leaves at 3:30. If you're on that plane, you're with us. If you're not, good luck to you. Right? Now, look, the truth about all these coaching jobs and coaching moves and changes, we make it out to be something that it's not. It's still men, almost all men, changing jobs, coming home, telling their wives, their kids, uprooting their entire families, and moving to a different part of the country, to a different region, a different conference, a completely different way of life. There's a lot that goes into the decision. It's not one of those, do you want, and money is the only factor. But I want you to go back and look at what, or listen, in this case, to what happened to Michigan State. Bobby Williams. You guys remember the name Bobby Williams? Okay. So Bobby Williams was a incredibly engaging, warm, friendly guy. Okay. That's who he was. He was warm. He was friendly. He was everything that Nick Saban was not. Now, he did not come from the defensive background. He wasn't a defensive coordinator the way that Marcus Freeman is. Okay? And he was slightly older. He was in, I think he was like 40 years old at the time. But he was a incredibly popular running back coach. And he was named the head coach, and the entire staff decided to stay behind, and they believed in Bobby Williams. It lasted 2.5 years. The point does not mean, okay, that this is going to be a failure. The point does not mean that history always repeats itself. But history is something that we study and we learn from and try and figure out how to not make the errors of the past. People ask all the time, how did Adam Gase keep getting jobs? Well, one, he had Peyton Manning in his corner. Manning believed in him. He was his offensive coordinator. He worked hand in hand with Peyton Manning. But the other guy who could call for Adam Gase was Nick Saban. Because here's something that people don't know. Adam Gase was a graduate assistant at Michigan State. And though he didn't get on the plane to fly with Saban because graduate assistants weren't welcomed, weren't offered. He didn't know. There wasn't like a group text back then that went out to everybody. Hey, anybody wants to get on the plane? He took it upon himself to go and enroll in graduate classes at LSU and show up at the football office where Nick Saban recognized him, realized he'd been with him at Michigan State, and said, hey, kid, make a copy of this. Get me a Coke and I'll see you in my office. It doesn't mean you have to go with Brian Kelly to be successful. It doesn't mean that Brian Kelly is going to be Nick Saban at LSU winning a national championship. And it doesn't mean that Marcus Freeman is going to be Bobby Williams, as he's far more accomplished at this point in his career, even though younger, than Bobby Williams was at that point in his career. It just means I've seen this before. And if adjustments aren't made to what happened 20 years ago, the results could be the same. I think it's fascinating. I really do. Because I consider myself, and I know Dan Beyer is the same. Like, we remember Marcus Freeman as a player, right? And look what he did at Cincinnati. Look what he did in short order at Notre Dame. And how quickly he became such a popular figure in that locker room and in that fan base. And that's a fan base that doesn't like anybody. You know, unless you win a national championship, we don't really like you. Ah, you know, like, good job, coach, but you didn't win a national championship, so enjoy LSU, right? That's really the feelings there. But I was thinking today about my kids and their enjoyment of history, me teaching them about, hey, we learn history so we don't repeat itself, and then we're watching what's happening at Notre Dame. Granted, a better job than Michigan State is now, was then, and whatever. Things are very, very different. The jobs are different, but there are a lot of similarities, and history in many ways repeating itself. Jay Stu, favorite class in school?
I think my favorite class was the one that I was best in, and that's math. I was just telling Ramos here that I didn't like fully embrace history until like my late 30s. I was not a fan in high school, but I love it now.
Yeah. I mean, I you know, it's like I think guys love the History Channel because you kind of messed around in history, and then you're like, you know what, the course is kind of cool, right? What about you there, Dan Beyer? What was your favorite course?
Social studies kid in grade school. Loved maths.
Isn't that the same?
As what?
Social studies is history?
No. I think it was just more, you know, maps, state capitals, that sort of stuff, mm-hmm. I would say. But, yeah, I love social studies.
Capital Wyoming?
Is it Casper?
No.
Oh, what is it? Laramie? No.
Cheyenne.
There it is.
North Dakota?
Bismarck?
I believe so.
Okay.
South Dakota?
Pierre.
Yeah. Pierre South. I remember Pierre because of somebody's name.
Yeah. I can't believe I missed Wyoming.
That's okay. It's okay. I know. Fifth grade.
Don't tell my wife. We've done this. We'll do.
Have we?
Yeah.
All right. We'll do. I have a game for you. We'll do a little bit later.
All right.
Ramos, favorite class?
It was history, yes. Yeah. History in high school, yeah. And we're talking high school just in general, overall.
I went grade school, so I mixed it up a little.
Yeah. Okay, you can do whatever you want. There's no, these are open-ended.
My high school teacher at St. Francis High School in La Cañada would say at the end of class, he would have this great story, and we'd all be sitting there listening, and then he would stop, and he'd say, but that's a story for another time. And we would just sit there and be like, oh, man. We have to wait till tomorrow to hear the rest of the story. He did a really good job. Mr. Riley. Shout out to Mr. Riley if he's out.
Shout out, Mr. Riley! Shout out, Mr. Riley. We do have... There is leaked video, which I don't understand this stuff. Like, I think... Is nothing personal anymore?
Be sure to catch the live edition of the Doug Gottlieb Show weekdays at 3 p.m. Eastern, noon Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
Doug Gottlieb Show, Fox Sports Radio. Yeah, I'm sick of it as well. There was a couple other stories there that were super interesting. Obviously but the lockout one is really, like, honestly, I believe this. Nobody cares. Because here's the problem with baseball is, regardless of the reality to the fact that, you know, rookies make so little their first 4 years, you know, and some of the other issues that are real issues for Major League Baseball players. When you have the top-end guys making the money that they're making, and maybe this is the genius to the owners, right? Is like the owners could sit there and go like, listen, you can say, you can cry poverty all you want, but you got guys making $30, $40 million a year, and these deals are bad deals, and everybody thinks they're bad deals. But because no games are affected, it's in the offseason, and because you have the litany of huge contracts that have been signed the past couple of years, even if there's few and far between, I don't think the American sportsman particularly cares. I don't. I really, really don't. I did want to play this for you. So this is the leaked audio of Brian Kelly saying goodbye to Notre Dame.
Morning, guys. Thanks for getting up here in short order, short notice. As you know, I sent out a text last night trying to give you as much notice as possible, given the circumstances that we all know that happened relative to social media and information getting out. And look, I know we've been through this together. I've recruited virtually everybody in this room. And I want to be able to tell you face to face, you know, why we're at where we're at. And that is very simply that the past 12 years have been the most incredible 12 years of my life.
You know, he went on and it was, but just so you know, like for full context, I actually do think it helps because Jack Swarbrick, the athletic director, said, I'll take your questions afterwards. You know, like it wasn't just the coach in a regular meeting, as it probably should have been, to be honest with you. But like there's a bunch of level to it. Like, when did it become okay to record this stuff? And even if you record it, to send it to anybody where it becomes social media fodder. But I do think if you watch the whole thing, was there bedside manner, warm bedside manner? Like, no, that's not who Brian Kelly is. I don't, but it also didn't feel like it was as terse as it reads. Well, he talked to the team for 2 minutes and then walked out. Like, it just, I don't know. Like, I just think it is what it is. Keeping in mind that his former boss, who he had just informed that he was leaving, and there were some questions about their relationship, had introduced him and said, I'm going to take questions. I don't know. I don't think recording a team meeting is a good idea. There are some things which are and should remain private. Right? Orange. What happens in your bedroom with your significant other? Nobody wants to hear that. That should remain private. Don't share it with anybody. Right? What happens in your locker room has a similar sanctity. Unless somebody's rights were violated. Unless somebody was injured. Right? And you need proof of something. Like, all right, then there's obviously times in which you can amend that statement. Bucky Brooks joins us. Of course, Bucky's a coach, okay, a high school coach. He's been an NFL player. He's been an NFL scout. And by the way, you can not only hear his outstanding podcast with Daniel Jeremiah, Move the Sticks. You can watch it on the NFL Network. But also, you can hear him Sundays with Mike Harmon, 9 to 11 a.m. on Fox Sports Radio. He joins us in the Doug Gottlieb Show. Do you have an issue with someone recording and tweeting out Brian Kelly's goodbye video to his players?
I mean, look, man, it's not exactly what you want. You like to think that with your team, even if you're departing, that you have a bond, a level of commitment and trust with one another, that you don't put each other out there for public consumption. But, man, it's a different world. Like, Doug, like today's kids live their life out for the public to see. And what we think are kind of sanctified moments, they feel like, oh, no, we put it out there for everybody to see. So as a coach, you just kind of have to be aware at all times that whatever you say to the team may likely get out of the room and may get to the public. And so it's one of those things that's unfortunate, but no, I don't dig it. I think it's – I mean, look, I think it's something that we talk about being professional. Even young people want to be pros. They should be pros in this. That shouldn't have been released out there for everyone to hear.
I told people the story of in 99, Nick Saban has a great year at Michigan State, and he goes to LSU. There's a plane waiting, and famously, none of the assistants joined him because they all love Bobby Williams, and they all believed in Michigan State, and they stayed behind. Bobby Williams was fired 2.5 years later, right? Now, Marcus Freeman, even though he's younger than Bobby was at that point in time, far more accomplished. Okay, then Bobby Williams was a running backs coach, right? This guy is a defense coordinator. He built Cincinnati's defense. He rebuilt Notre Dame's defense. Very well respected. How does Notre Dame avoid what happened to Michigan State?
I think you have to make sure that on the coaching staff, you surround them with enough experience and expertise to allow them to grow into the job. And I think it's very, very similar to, like, if you look at what happened with Lincoln Riley. Like, Bob Stoops was around. So even though Lincoln was kind of going through it, he still had a mentor. I think the mentorship of Marcus Freeman is going to be important because whenever you step into a head job, you don't know the answers. I can tell you, even as a high school coach, you may think you know, but then when you step into the big seat and you get the big whistle, you still are trying to scramble and figure out what it is that you're doing. So So I think a lot of it is making sure that he's surrounded with the right infrastructure to make his mistakes, but those mistakes aren't egregious, and that he's able to learn from those on a big stage, and that there's a level of commitment in knowing there are going to be some growing pains when it comes to Marcus Freeman kind of settling in as the head coach. But, man, he's a very good tactician. He is an even better person, as you can see by the way that his staff stayed around. And he's an outstanding recruiter. And so they will have all the things in place. It's kind of up to him to figure out how he can keep the ball rolling, because they've been rolling that Notre Dame despite what we may think when they lose in the playoffs. This is a really good program, and they've been playing at a high level for a while.
No question. Completely and totally agree with you. Doug Gottlieb Show here on Fox Sports Radio. Bucky Brooks is our guest. Bucky, let's work our way to the National Football League. If you're with Cleveland, okay, GM comes out and supports Baker. Everybody's supporting Baker. He's not playing well. He's not healthy. They have Case Keenum, who's like basically a slightly lesser version of Baker, sitting there at the ready. What do you do at the quarterback position if you're the Cleveland Browns?
See, man, this is tough, because if you sit Baker down and you bring Case Keenum in, you open up Pandora's box potentially, because then you create a quarterback controversy. If Case Keenum plays, they win games, they play well. Now you have to figure out what you do with the franchise quarterback. I mean, it's very similar to the way that Philadelphia imploded with Jalen Hurts and Carson Wentz and all of that stuff. I think you have to hang with Baker as long as you can, particularly if you view him as the franchise quarterback, regardless of what you may think about how you eventually have to pay him or what you want to do. I think you have to throw everything behind him. The quarterback position is one that is really, really tricky. You can't really yo-yo quarterback like you may do other position players, because there's a level of sensitivity and maybe even insecurity that goes along with those guys in those spots. I think if you're Cleveland, you got to hang in there with Baker and hope that he's able to work through his injury issues and play at a level that you're still able to win with him.
Bucky Brooks, our guest here on the Doug Gottlieb Show on Fox Sports Radio. All right, let me take you to San Francisco, right, where all the reports were that Kyle Shanahan wanted Mac Jones, and then eventually gets talked into Trey Lance, because I think most people think Trey Lance has a higher ceiling, right? So Trey Lance is going to learn this year, and then, you know, Jimmy Garoppolo will be fine, then they'll move on from Jimmy Garoppolo. Funny thing, Jimmy Garoppolo, when healthy, playing really, really well. Does this change your outlook for the future if you're the Niners?
I think it has to. I think you have to continue to look and evaluate your team. I think a lot of it will be determined on how they play down the stretch. Right now, they found their recipe for success, and their recipe for success is the way that it's always been. A lot of run game, a few selected passes from Jimmy Garoppolo, let them manage it, defense play well, and away they go. If they win games like that and they have success and say they find their way into the playoffs, and maybe if they even win a playoff game, I think you have to run it back with Jimmy Garoppolo, because remember, ownership has already come out and said that they were fine paying Jimmy whatever they had to pay him to keep him around. And it appears that part of that plan was like, hey, we can keep him around this year and maybe even next year. Well, if they play well enough, then you have to continue to keep him there. And then you figure out what to do with Trey Lance. I know there's a thing where we don't like to burn up draft picks and we don't like to kind of waste capital on quarterbacks. But if it's the most important position in football, hey, man, there's nothing wrong with throwing resources at it. And if you win and win at a high level, you live with it. If the Niners go and go deep into the playoffs with Jimmy Garoppolo playing, I think people will soon forget that, A, they burned a pick on a quarterback and maybe it didn't work out at the time. Yeah, I think you continue to roll with Jimmy Garoppolo as long as the team is winning, as long as you have success.
That's Bucky Brooks. He joins us in the Doug Gottlieb Show here on Fox Sports Radio. All right, what about Mac Jones? Is this sustainable?
Yeah, I think it's sustainable, because to me it reminds me of early 2000 Patriots. Like, I remember those Patriots teams when the young Tom Brady was being the game manager. They were led by a veteran-laden defense. They were led by a big, powerful offensive line and running game, and they won a lot of close games. It's the same thing that's happening right in front of our eyes. And what they have done is they have done a great job of developing the quarterback where they basically spoon-fed them. At first, it was a lot of quick outs, a lot of screen passes at the line of scrimmage, a lot of running back swings and things that are high completion percentage passes that keep the ball out of harm's way. Of late, they've given him a little more. He's been successful with it, has shown a command of the offense, and because they are probably the best at playing complementary football and understanding situational football, it all works together. And so I can't say that I'm necessarily surprised, because Bill Belichick is known as the best coach in football, but what we're seeing is he's dug out an old blueprint to kind of recreate the dynastic team that we saw in the early 2000s, and they're having success right now.
Is Tua playing well enough to keep his job?
You know, the funny thing is, like, we go crazy about Mac Jones, but, man, Tua's playing at a very competent and similar level. I think they both come from the same program, but they learn. And then the best way to win a game is to not lose it. So they're taking care of the football. They throw the ball short in rhythm. They let their playmakers have opportunities to make things in space. And down in Miami, what they're doing is they're getting a better defensive effort. Defense has been playing lights out the last 4 weeks, which is why they won four in a row. And so as long as Tua continues to play like this and show that he can manage the game, he can make the plays, he can get it out to the weapons that they have on the outside, yeah, they should continue to build around it. The asterisk, though, is the Deshaun Watson thing and ownership's fascination with Deshaun Watson and wanting a star at the position. And so I would say that Tua plays well enough to keep his job, but if ownership wants a superstar and Deshaun Watson finds his way available on the market, you know, it's going to make it hard to say, oh, we should bypass Deshaun Watson to keep Tua Tagovailoa when you've seen one guy play at a top five level.
Right. Right. Owners own, and it might not make sense to everybody else. You might not need it, but they do, and they want it. They can go and get it. That is their right. Bucky Brooks joining us on the Doug Gottlieb Show on Fox Sports Radio. How much of it is Stafford? How much of it is that you lose Robert Woods? He's such an important glue piece, and their O-line just isn't as good as it should be in terms of the Rams' disappointing performances of late.
It's a little bit of everybody. I mean, look, Matthew Stafford is the one with the ball, so he's the chief decision maker. And when he has a bad game or a bad play, we all see it. But I think a lot of this kind of falls with the dilemma that you have when you bring on a Matthew Stafford and you're Sean McVay. Your offense is traditionally run a certain way when you had Jared Goff. It was more run-centric, play-action passes, a lot of pre-snap motions and shifts to kind of divert the eyes of the defense. Well, Matthew Stafford is a guy who prefers to play a traditional drop-back scheme. He wants to go empty and spread it out so he can see and he can deal. What you have is a team that's built to play one way, but the most important player, the quarterback, prefers to play another way. And so the two systems don't jive. And so it's on Sean McVay to figure out how can I marry what I need to do for the 10 other guys on offense to help what number 11 does, the quarterback. It's a delicate balance. But they need to get up on the center. They need to do what they've always done, do some play-action stuff, and then sprinkle in some of the stuff that Matthew Stafford likes to do. But they got to get back to basics, because if they continue to just be a throw-at-every-down team, they're going to fall, and they're going to fall hard in the NFC.
Help me out with Russell Wilson. I understand that the team's not that good, but he's not playing that well either. Is he not healthy? Is it like his spirit is broken by the team? Like, I think we give him, because he's earned it, right? We give him a pass, but how many times do we have to watch him and go, like, he's not playing very well when that pass ends?
Oh, he's got an ultimate pass now. I think we like him because he's a nice guy. He stands for the right stuff. All of those other things, right? When he came into the league, he appeared to be the ultimate team player and all of those things. But if you look at the last 16 games, hey, Doug, he's not played great, you know. And everyone in the Pacific Northwest at the end of last year, the last half of the season, they're like, oh, you got to let Russ cook. And what Pete Carroll did, and he said this, and he told us, he's like, we cannot continue to play the way that we were playing because we were getting too many cover two looks, meaning two high safeties, soft zone coverage. They're sitting back, and they're daring Russell to make plays from the pocket. Russell is a non-rhythmic quarterback. He is not someone who, like a Mac Jones, that's going to take the snap, turn, fire, and let it rip. Russell is an improvisational playmaker. And so when you have someone who doesn't play on rhythm and doesn't play within structure, you have these ebbs and flows. And one of the reasons why they wanted to run the football successfully is then you only have to ask Russ to pass it 25 times. He can do some of those things to make plays and win games. But in a structured offense, it's too hard to live with Russell playing the way that he's playing. So, no, it's a major issue. It's something that they have to address in the offseason. How can they build this team around a quarterback that is a little more freestyle than structured?
It's Doug Gottlieb Show here on Fox Sports Radio. Going to see Dallas tonight. And I know, like, you don't have your wide receivers. You haven't had Tyron Smith at times. Anybody's going to look like a human being. But, I mean, they're not playing the top of the league, and they haven't looked good. What's going on with Dallas's offense?
No, I mean, I think you caught it. One, they haven't had the receivers. And this is a team that really depends on their playmakers to carry them more than anything else. Secondly, their offensive line isn't nearly what people make them out to be. They're not the mid-2015, 2016, 2017 version of the offensive line where they could road grade everybody and do those things. This is a team that has a little better than mediocre offensive line. And when they can't run the ball and protect, it becomes really, really hard for them to move the football. That said, tonight should be a game where they look great. The Saints are battered. They're beaten. They don't have many players playing. If the Cowboys can't get it done now, then it speaks to their lack of maturity. And maybe they really are overrated. But this should be one way to get back on track. They have all the weapons together on the perimeter. I would expect to see Dak Prescott and the three wide receivers play well. And then it's a matter of making sure that you keep Tony Pollard and Ezekiel Elliott engaged and the game is still balanced when it comes to the run-pass ratio.
Doug Gottlieb Show here on Fox Sports Radio. Bucky Brooks, you got to check out, download the Move the Six podcast, he and Daniel Jeremiah. Watch it on the NFL Network. Listen to him 9 to 11 in the morning, East Coast time, on Fox Sports Radio every Sunday morning. You want to get ready for the NFL games? A guy who's played it, covered it, been a scout in it, knows it. He's Bucky Brooks. Bucky, you're the best, man. Really appreciate you joining us.
Hey, appreciate you, Doug.
That's Bucky Brooks. Ram is redefining what a truck can be, leading in interior design, technology, overall quality. If you're buying a truck in the past, good luck. If you're buying a truck today, buy a Ram. Learn more about what Ram has offered, ramtrucks.com. You're going to hear some great advice about a social situation we all find ourselves in. It's next.
Be sure to catch the live edition of the Doug Gottlieb Show weekdays at 3 p.m. Eastern, noon Pacific.
Please come home for Christmas. Yeah, she's gone, dude. And your friends don't like you anymore. Awesome. Been there, done that. Let's get to a game.
Game time!
This is game time.
It's game time.
On the Doug Gottlieb Show.
So here's honestly the way we do it, okay? I have a great amount of trust in Dan Beyer. Guy's awesome. Hosts his own show. You can hear it weekends here on Fox Sports Radio. Has his own podcast. I Want Your Flex. So this portion of the show is all Dan. If it goes off the rails, it's all Dan. He picks the game, he picks the format, and we are all just lemmings going to follow his lead. Go ahead, Dan.
And the game today is...
I feel a draft.
This is where we draft things. The draft order is John Ramos first, Doug second, Jason picks third, I will pick fourth, and then we'll reverse it in a snake fashion for a two-round draft as we draft the best time to leave someone else's wedding. This was brought up with Brian Kelly's departure at LSU. So let's decipher what are the best times to leave someone else's wedding. John Ramos, you're on the clock.
I would say the best time to leave a wedding for me personally would be right after the first dance. So after they've done the first dance and they've, you know, because we don't want to dance. I'm not a big dancer. So I was like, we see the first dance. They do it. I'm like, I'm out. So there you go. First dance. After the first dance would be my pick number one.
After the first dance.
It's pretty quick.
I think this one's really, really easy. Really easy. After you... say congratulations to the new couple. Now, listen, well, hold on, wait. I need some context here. Are you single? Or are you married? And if you're single, did you go to the wedding by yourself? Like, what is the setup here?
You can do it however you want.
Well, if you're single and you go to a wedding, then you got to stay the whole time because once everybody is, well, lubricated.
Then that would be your pick, you know, the whole time if single.
Yes, the whole time if single.
All right. That works
because a wedding has a completely different effect on a woman than it does a dude. Right? It just does. Women go to weddings and it's like the most romantic. Oh my gosh, she looks so wonderful. He's so sweet. Oh my god. You know, whereas guys are like 6 months, right? And so if you're single, you hang around and you know. Becomes a target-rich environment. single, stay all the way. Final answer. Final answer.
It's going to be a
final answer. Final answer, Regis.
It will be a one-round draft because of time. Jason Stewart's best time to leave a wedding.
This is going to fly in the face of Ramos' choice, but to me, this is why you don't go cheap on a DJ. DJ means a lot to the reception, and I'm going to stick through a few songs of the DJ, mostly watch, but sometimes partake in dancing. So maybe after a few songs of that, maybe after they cut the wedding cake at that point. That's a few songs in, right?
Cutting the cake. That's a good spot. I'm going to use this one in a few years. Kid is too tired. Or... The other one would have been babysitter, you know, because kid is at home.
Yep.
Have to leave. Sorry, it's only 8:30, but the kid is tired and we have to put him to bed.
Once you're married.
That's game, huh?
Game time.
This is game time on the Doug Gottlieb Show.
Let's just be honest. You're a married dude. There's essentially no reason to go to a wedding unless you're in it. And even then, like, unless you're the best man, like, man, that's just a tough weekend for me. I mean, it's just... I'm being honest.
Fair enough. Agreed.
Everybody else can lie and go like, no, it's great. It's a great moment. Like, nah, don't invite me. I'm good. And you invite me, you know, it's just for a present. We'll get ready for Thursday Night Football. Is it good? Next.